Oh, thank you for joining us today. My name is Adriana Masters. I'm the chair of the New Practitioner Committee for ACRO, and I will be interviewing a colleague and friend, Dr. Simon Brown. Simon, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks, Adriana. This is great. My name is Dr. Simon Brown, current radiation oncologist in community practice at the West Michigan Cancer Center here in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Been here approximately about 6 months, recently moved from Southern Illinois in the community to this new job.
Yeah, so we'll be interviewing, as this series goes along, several members of our new practitioner committee in different walks of life and types of practice. And we'll be talking about radiation oncology in general and then what those different transitions are like. So, Simon, why radiation oncology? You're a great doctor, great physician. You could be doing so many things. Why this?
Thank you. So radiation oncology. For me, I would say radiation oncology was actually a blind leap of faith. I did a random rotation that became available as a medical student for 3 weeks at the Medical University of South Carolina. And there, during the first few days, I became very interested in the thought process that goes into deciding treatment options for patients. And I realized that all the treatment options were variable. There wasn't one, one size shoe fits all. You know, it was all very unique and all evidence based. And I was like, wow, where am I? Everyone is like, fighting and stating stats to validate why they're doing what they're doing. So I was hooked from like day three. And I remember telling one of my close friends, I told him, I was like, hey, have you heard of radiation oncology? They're like, oh my God, yeah, I have. I heard that field's great. I was like, I'm doing a rotation. I'm just a third year medical student, but I like it. And he really encouraged me to just dive in right then and there, 3 days into my rotation, just go for it all, And so that next day, I remember the look on everyone's face where I said, I think this is what I want to do. Everyone kind of looked at me and they're like, okay, well, there's more ways you can get involved. How about look up all these patients? And there's some projects you can get involved with too. And then before you knew it, I had a few projects. I was seeing a lot of patients. I was going to every chart rounds that they had for the next year and a half. And like I said, it just kind of evolved. And over time, they said, well, now that you've done this, you need to go do some away rotations in other places. And so I was fortunate enough to do away rotations in Iowa and Oregon, and still just the love kind of grew. And then before you know it, I'm applying for the match, and I matched at Oregon Health and Science University. And now, 5 years later, I don't regret my decision.
Yeah, fantastic.
I still really enjoy it, and I still really love what I do.
Yeah, if you could tell your third year medical student self one thing, is there anything that you wish you knew earlier or that you're thankful that somebody told you early?
Third year medical student self, I think I was very fortunate to have a lot of good friends who had already gone through medical school, just to kind of tell me just to go for it. Don't listen to any naysayers, like I think during our time, it was, radiation oncology was like one of the most competitive fields to try to get into. And I would just say, just work hard at it, and just kind of push forward. But it's kind of like what I did already. But I would just tell any third year medical student to say, hey, if this is your goal and your dream, just push for it. And I think I'm living proof that you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's not a ton of exposure in general in medical education to radiation oncology. And I think that is something that we can all work towards, because to me, it's just an amazing field that if more people were exposed to it, probably more people would also have a really positive experience.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah. I remember because we matched the same year. I remember being very nervous about the match and wondering if I was picking the right thing to do with my life. But then in respect now, I should have not been nearly as nervous. I should have just done what I wanted to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's just, I would probably tell myself to ignore student.net, other things, and listen to your close friends and colleagues, listen to your advisors, those that are at your program. And not just with radiation oncology, just with any specialty in general, but for radiation oncology specifically, find a few good mentors that you can, kind of learn from. And I think that again, just kind of reiterate, once you know what you want, just kind of go for it and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Having good mentors at different levels of training is also very important in terms of finding your place in the specialty and career development. Like, I know that I benefit very much from working in the same place with you. We graduated the same year. We're both new to practice and in a smaller private practice. So having somebody that was trained at a different place, because I trained at Wake Forest, you trained at Oregon Health, just to kind of bounce ideas off of, to talk through different patient cases was hugely beneficial. But also having mentors and mentees at various different stages of their career, I found to be super rewarding. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience in that too?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I try to make it my point to know, to get it, if there's an opportunity to meet anybody in our field, to get to know them, honestly, if they're like, they've been practicing for like 20 or 30 years, if they're, you know, a medical student interested in it, you know, like, I think, you know, even residents, I think what you said is pretty spot on. You know, like, our field is so small, and it's so great to get to know everyone, because we all come from different backgrounds, different way of perceiving things, you know, and I think having as much input as possible really just helps make you a better physician, even a better person, you know. And so, and I still think radiation oncologists, all of them, we're an awesome group, you know. And I think if there's an opportunity to meet other people, to even have a mentor, you know, you should reach, look for that, you know, and try to seek that out, you know, and not shy away from it. Yeah.
Yeah. And not just to shamelessly plug ACRO, but I'm going to do a little bit of that too. one of the things that I really enjoyed is having the mentor pairing, both that allowed me to be a mentor and also to have mentors that were, and sponsors that were really pivotal in my career development, finding jobs, finding different jobs, you know, and then establishing, you know, what your practice pattern is going to be, and having that person that's a little bit more senior to you to answer question of like, hey, have you ever seen this before? What do you do in this situation?
Not just exactly. All that
personal skills too. Yeah. Absolutely. Is there anything that you have learned, like good or bad, from being a mentor over time? Or something that you look for in terms of like a mentee?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing I've learned that's good about being a mentor is that even if the person decides not to do radiation oncology or the specialty that you're in, you still are able to make a connection, you know, and you're still able to get to know that person. You're still able to help with, you know, guidance and advice. So it doesn't just, you know, run straight to radiation oncology. It just runs through all walks of life, you know. That's been very rewarding, you know, making those connections and support, regardless of what the person, if they were initially interested in radonc, but decide to do radiology, that sort of thing, you know, that process has been very rewarding, you know. I don't know if there's been anything, you know, like I would say bad about, you know, or maybe that's not the right way to say it, but just, you know, things I look back on, you know, as a mentee or mentor, you know, I really can't say anything. I can't say anything to that. You know, I think all my experiences as being a, you know, mentor, you know, like, it's all for me personally, have been very rewarding. You know, I just like being able to try to put people in connection with other people, you know, trying to just kind of help offer some guidance, you know,
and I think
something
like,
that they may not have had before.
From the professional side, like, that is super rewarding. But I think, like, I know in your practice pattern too, like, I watch the way that you counsel your patients, that you get to know them, like, you know, so many stories about them and their lives that impact the way that they view their treatment decisions and the way that you develop those interpersonal relationships, that I think is, I mean, of course I'm biased, but I think that's fairly unique to radiation oncology, you know, that we really get to engage with people and their families at a time that could be terrifying.
Yeah, that's a big perk. I would say, like, you know, with regards to, like, you know, another thing that's like one thing I really enjoy about our, you know, our specialty, you know, is that, like, you're with these patients for an extended period of time during their most vulnerable moments, you know, like, where life changes that could help, you know, like, if it's just, you know, stop smoking, sort of things like that, but just life changes and goals. You're able to really connect with these patients, you know, on a personal level that you wouldn't be able to otherwise, because they're face to face with their mortality, you know? And so that in there just creates an opportunity to enact that change and that connection with the patient that I don't think you get anywhere else, you know, like, you know, and I love that, you know, I just love that, you know, that love, that bond you create, you know?
Absolutely. And like having been another attending at a facility where you've treated patients, like the spark in the eyes of the patient that's, or the loved one that's like, hey, where's Dr. Brown? Hey, I need to tell them about this, that, or the other. You know, they really engage and know that you care about them. And I think that is just hugely rewarding. And it is an amazing part of what we do as a specialty.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks.
It's pretty neat. And I like to, you know, there's some longitudinal care too. So different specialties have different focuses. Right. And in radiation oncology, as you know, people are living longer with cancer and it becomes more of a chronic type of illness. You know, we see patients come back for multiple treatment courses in a way that other specialists may not have the opportunity to have those long-term relationships with patients. So I really appreciate that too. It's been great. So you mentioned a little earlier some of the social media or studentdoctor.net or some of the negativity that's related to our specialty. If you could talk to any of those people and tell them one thing, is there something you like to emphasize or address?
Yeah, it's tricky, you know. I mean, honestly, you know? Like, you know, we're talking, you know, it's tricky, you know. Like I remember speaking with a physician who's I think it was their son. They were interested in either radiology or, you know, radiation oncology, and just was kind of looking at the stats, you know, like, you know, and of, you know, less people are choosing our field, and just, you know, and there was like this concern, this cloud over, you know, radiation oncology. But, you know, but I will say this, when I was coming into radiation oncology as a third year, like a medical student back in 2011. Yeah. It was, you know, like it, there was still that same level of like, I don't know about this field and blah, blah, blah. You know, like this sense of like dark and gloom,
like impending
negativity.
Doom or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, and it got to me. I will say it got to me. And one thing I would tell my 30 year self is like, don't listen to that, because you don't know, because you're not a part of the specialty. You're not a part of the field. You're not in it. You're so far removed from it. You have no idea as a 30 year student what you're getting yourself into. Again, it's still a blind leap of faith, you know, like,
no, definitely,
you don't really. Yeah. Yeah. You don't fully understand it. We're still learning, actually, you know, until you've been in the practice, gone through residency and so forth. But, you know, but it's very easy to hear all that noise and not really know. Yeah. So what I would say is that, like, I would talk to people who are practicing, talk to people who are, you know, who have been in the field for a little while, or just, or like someone like me that's been out maybe 4 years, you know, and ask me what I think about it, you know, and I would tell you, like, no, I love it.
So, and you know, if you look at multiple different specialties over time, there are peaks and valleys in terms of applications and interest, and you know, people make all kinds of predictions about the job market. But at the end of the day, I want to be happy doing what I do every day. And you spend so much of your life working, if you're a physician, that you should do something that you absolutely love. And I wouldn't do anything else. And I encourage people to talk with people that are actually doing it at various different phases of their career, at various phases of life, from different backgrounds, because I think the majority of people, at least that I talk to, are really happy doing what they do every day.
Yeah, no, I would say the same thing. The people I talk to are happy.
No situation will be perfect, but why would you not want to do this? But to me, this is a perfect fit for like my personality, my goals, and what I want to do every day. I love taking care of patients.
Sure, for sure. No, I totally hear that. No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, why wouldn't you want to do it? But again, it's very easy to get caught up in that negativity, and but it's tough to really know if that negativity is real or not if you're not actually in the field. So yeah, like you said, talk to someone that's in the field. Talk to someone like one of us. Talk to you. I mean, like, because I find a lot of great pleasure in doing what I do, you know.
Yeah, and I think
job satisfaction.
I think surrounding yourself with other people who are also of a similar mindset, like people from macro, has been hugely advantageous for me in terms of my happiness and career satisfaction, because you're also surrounding yourself with people that have the same interests, the same goals in terms of patient care, that are advancing this field and supporting one another in a way that is just very invigorating.
No, I agree. I completely agree.
Okay, so in terms of what has been your career pathway and, you know, jobs, advice, job satisfaction, how did you pick where you are now? And how is it like to transition both from residency to practice and to transition from one practice to the next?
Oh, that's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a big yeah, question.
It's a big So, so from residency, you know, I think when I was looking for jobs, different positions, I applied very broadly. I looked at both academic jobs and community jobs as well. And, you know, I don't know, you know, like if there was one thing that kind of pushed me over, I think it was what would be best for my family. You know, I trained in Oregon, but my home is South Carolina. My wife's home is Michigan. So initially there was a pull to get back to the Midwest, not in one particular location, but just Midwest in general. And so I've always been in the community since residency, and so far I've enjoyed it. You know, like I think once you've been out 2 years, 3 years, it's tough to know as a resident what to look for in a job, what you're going to like, what you're not going to like, what's going to really matter to your day-to-day workflow. And I think over the first 2 to 3 years of, you know, being in private practice, I was able to develop that. I was able to develop spreadsheets and to see like, these are things that kind of matter to me. And once you figure out what you think would be a good fit, you know, you kind of hone in, talk with your family, of course, and then, you know, and start to look for that fit, start to go searching for it. And so, and this current job that I'm at right now, again, it's still in the community. It has a touch of academics. You know, you get an appointment with the West Michigan, University of Western Michigan Medical School. So you get a appointment there. So you have access to clinical trials and so forth. So you get a little bit of the academic side of things. You get medical students, you know, you get the, you do a little bit of both. Even though you're in the community, you still get that academic, a little taste of academic medicine as well. And for me, that's like the perfect, you know, I really enjoy and know that I want to treat patients and deliver the best like patient care. And, you know, and I like spending my time doing that, you know, and so a busy clinic is kind of like what I was looking for, you know, but because this place has that academic, you know, kind of, you know, side, you know, that you could do on this academic, how would you say it, adjunct that you could do on the side. This seemed very appealing to me, not to mention that my wife's from the area. And so when this job came available, I definitely jumped at it. So it just kind of checked all the boxes for me, you know. And even though this checked all the boxes, I still looked everywhere else. I still looked all around, you know, because like I said, there is no perfect job. You know, there is no, and each job has its own pros and cons. You know, you try to find the best of that and go with it, you know. And I'm fortunate enough to have a very supportive wife and family. And this, like I said, this particular current position really just checked all those boxes for me and the family.
Okay, so I think I'm going to ask part of that question a little bit differently, because okay. I think now that you have had a chance to kind of think through it. Mm-hmm. So knowing what I know about you, since we had the same initial position right out mm-hmm. of residency, after you had some time to figure out what was going to be most important to you a few years in, what did you look for in the second position?
What did I look for in particular in the second position?
Yeah, like what made that transition different for you, and what of all the various places that wanted to hire you, because there were many, how did you pick this one?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's multifactorial, you know, like I got to say, it's, you know, at the end of the day, I would say that the jobs, you know, they each had their own pluses and minuses, you know, like, trying to think of how to answer this in a very short time frame. I mean, I could go into detail, but I don't think we have time for that. But, you know, I think the general themes were, you know, the number of sites that I would have to cover in specifics, you know, like the number of sites that I would have to cover. That was a big proponent. you know, the amount of support that I had, you know, with mid-levels yes. and nursing, you know, like that was a really big proponent. Honestly, the number of tumor boards I was responsible for going to, just, you know, like some places there are like 9 tumor boards, you know, it's just like, how do you get to all of these tumor boards? You know, like, yeah. we, you know, is there a way to like divide it up, you know, so you don't feel like you, so you feel like you have more time throughout the day. You know, all in all, you know, and this overall support structure, you know, like who did I, where did I feel like I would have the most support? Where did I feel like I would be able to achieve the most success, you know, like be able to give the best patient care, you know,
absolutely.
Some places I looked like didn't have some of the advanced techniques, you know, like stereotactic, you know, radiosurgery and so forth, you know, and, you know, there's just, you know, all that, you know, I don't know if there was like one thing. I think it was just a combination of all of that, making an Excel spreadsheet and then doing the plus and minuses and whichever had the highest score, you know, like yeah. that's what you go with.
Absolutely. And I think like knowing what your practice pattern is going to be, knowing which parts of the team that you're going to work with are going to be most important to you, kind of, at least for me, developed as I got into my own practice pattern as an attendee. Like some of the things that I was unsure whether or not I would need them or whether or not it would make a big impact. I knew much more about what I was looking for after I was a few years out and I knew what I wanted.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then you touched on a little bit too, location in terms of being near family. How does that impact your day-to-day life?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, like, I think, you know, people, I mean, like, it's like the most underestimated. I didn't realize this in residency. I've always been far away from family. Undergrad in Rhode Island, I was at Brown, and so I'm from South Carolina. And then, you know, in residency, I was in Oregon. Again, I'm from South Carolina.
Wow.
You know, so like I was always far away from family. So I was just used to it. So I just figured, oh, yeah, you know, I'm getting close. I'm in the Midwest. It's close enough, you know, like. But still, our, you know, as our family got bigger, you know, like, you know, now I have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old now, like you just, that desire for being closer to family just kind of increased and you don't fully appreciate it until you have it. And so now that I've been here, I mean, you see, you know, you know, my mother-in-law is here like, you know, once a week, you know, like it's a nonstop flight for my family, you know, from, you know, like to get here,
yeah.
you know, like it's just, I don't know. I just, you know, and really today, both my mom and mother-in-law are with my girls. So, I mean, like,
That's awesome.
It's just amazing. Like, you know, just being close to family, you have that, you have extra babysitters, you can like do things. You're when you get home, you're really like home. You're, you know, you're able to just really just relax and just, it's just something about it. It makes a big difference. That's my personal opinion. Maybe it's my bias.
Yeah.
It's my bias, but it's something that I didn't fully appreciate until I had it. And now that I have it, you know, like I'm so glad
I'm
doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there, for me, there's like a much more of a sense of calm because I know that we have support around us. Like mm-hmm. we moved back to the town that my husband grew up in, that all of his family members, all hundreds of them mm-hmm. are now. And
yeah,
it was just great to have like family get togethers. And I think it's highly underrated as a specialty in general, how much flexibility you have, even, you know, call is not call inside the hospital the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more ability to control some of your outside of office hour time and what your schedule is in a way that is huge for my overall happiness.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. And then also too, you think about what we do, we treat cancer patients, you know? And so, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to just go hang out with your family members who don't even think about cancer, you know, like, you know, you see them regularly for like your Thanksgiving, Christmas, any holiday, you know, like it's just, you know, like it just adds, like you said, that extra element, you know, of just like, yeah, calmness, you know, it just helps with your day to day, you know, there's something about it. It's pretty nice.
All right, Simon, thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your thoughts on why radiation oncology and different transition to practice and job perspectives. Is there any other words of advice that you'd like to leave us with or things that you would be interested in sharing with our audience?
If there's any advice, I would say I would encourage all members who listen to this podcast, if you're a radiation oncologist or not, to just get out and meet more people, meet more radiation oncologists. You know, I think COVID has had an isolating effect on most people. And with our field, like I said, specifically radiation oncology, we're a really small field. And so I think the more people you know in the field, just really the better. You know, I think your overall happiness will increase. So that would be my advice. And if you see me anywhere, reach out and say hey.
All right. Awesome. Thank you again. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to spend it with us and to give us your perspective. In this series, we will be interviewing a series of different folks from the New Practitioners Committee and looking at different paths to radiation oncology, different practice patterns, and then different transitions. As many of us that trained in academic residencies, which is the majority of radiation oncology training, we were told that certain transitions would not be possible if you didn't get the right job immediately, or that certain avenues would be closed. And I really like to highlight the diversity of practice and diversity of experience that we have in the New Practitioner Committee and give people multiple different perspectives to draw from. So thank you again for joining us. I appreciate you.
That's wonderful. Thanks for having me.